In school, we're taught that all the not really diversity of perspectives, because that implies truly diverse worldviews, while under class, there's at base just two, as Kropotkin explained. On the one hand, rule, or authority, is at the core of all progress, that's the message, which is fundamentally dishonest, i.e. a lie, or its opposite, that notion is illusion, reflects the state's conditioning of us to serve its own interests, while the reality is the appropriation of our gifts in the service of privilege. And to maintain as your exclusive prerogative decision-making for global shaping is privilege indeed. Believe me, that's the point of them bucks. Think what a heady thing that is, to think of yourself as a global statesman. You're shaping the planet. Vanity, my... One day we're going to talk about that film, Devil's Advocate. Another great metaphor for power. There's a line in it from the character who plays the devil, vanity, my favorite sin. Okay, so it's not really diversity of perspectives. Perhaps we should call it diversity of deep fictions, constructions of analytic frameworks. In any case, we're told that all these invented systems of thought, although again, the word we're given to describe this is perspectives, that it's a good thing because they serve to stimulate our thinking and, the story goes, get to more of the truth. But Karl Popper has helped us see not just the inherent dishonesty in this project of inventing thought systems, but its inherent political utilitarianism. He says this of Hegel, quote, "In our own time, Hegel's hysterical historicism is still the fertilizer to which modern totalitarianism owes its rapid growth. Its use has prepared the ground and has educated the intelligentsia to intellectual dishonesty. We have to learn the lesson that intellectual honesty is fundamental for everything we cherish." The historical significance of Hegel may be seen in the fact that he represents the missing link, as it were, between, and this is still quoting Karl Popper, as it were, between Plato and the modern form of totalitarianism. Most of the modern totalitarians are quite unaware that their ideas can be traced back to Plato. And my interjection, I don't know about that. I mean, he would know better because he mingled with these dudes. But as we see with Martin Bernal, they became very conscious after the French Revolution. So it could just be that, you know, some are not conscious, but it could also be that they didn't take him into their council chambers. I think that's highly likely. Or maybe they did a little bit, realized he couldn't be bought and kicked him back out again. Continuing, most of the modern totalitarians are quite unaware that their ideas can be traced back to Plato. But many know of their indebtedness to Hegel, and all of them have been brought up in the close atmosphere of Hegelianism. They've been taught to worship the state, history, and the nation. That sums it up, don't it? Continuing with Karl Popper, "My assertion that Hegel's philosophy was inspired by ulterior motives, namely by his interest in the restoration of the Prussian government of Frederick William III, and that it cannot therefore be taken seriously, is not new." And I cannot tell you the gratitude with which I read that. Anyway, I'm way off track. Continuing. Okay. And that he cannot therefore be taken seriously is not new. The story was well known to all who knew the political situation. I mean, no, and it's not just that. I don't just mean the fact that he was racist in a modern sense, not as well as in the ancient Platonic sense. No, what I mean was that when you read it, it was just nonsense. It was just the most ultimate, the most pure, unadulterated bull. And it was an insult to one's intelligence. And yet, how many fruitless years, if you're in academia, do you spend trying to wrap your mind about this nonsense, which he just invented as the massive con that it became. Anyway.